You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
It's a big day. Thanks for fitting us in, but we have a lot to do over these next 4 hours, and then the hour after that, you will find out what the 2024 football schedule in the SEC is going to start looking like. And this is a day we've been waiting for. We're still waiting for the data to get here, but we're just a little bit over a year away from seeing 16 schools play football, and tonight at 7, we will find out what the schedules look like for all 16 schools, and we're all anticipating so many things. You know, what games go by the wayside, what games remain, what are the big games, and I know fans in both Texas and Oklahoma are very curious, you know, where will we get the A&M Texas game? Where will it be? What about Oklahoma, Texas? Does it stay in Dallas? There are many, many questions, and we'll answer them 4 hours from now. We won't have them until then, but we will have them at that moment in time. But we have a lot of questions about NIL. Remember, a week ago today, SEC went up to Washington, D.C. There's a lot of bills percolating right now, namely one by Tuberville and Joe Manchin, and we'll find out what it all means. Michael Casagrande has been covering the story, among other things, for AL.com. Michael, thank you. Always great to communicate with you. So tell us a week later what you've learned and where do we go from here?
Yeah, well, it's Washington, so where do we go from here? We'll probably wait a little bit longer and maybe wait forever. You never know with these guys. So there's just so many competing interests. There's so many politics, so much politics in play. Everybody's got an angle. So it's kind of one of those things where I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when President Penn signs this into bill into law. But it's just, it's one of those things that I'm still kind of skeptical if it'll ever work.
Yeah, Michael, and you know, many are wondering, you have to try to do something, and I think there isn't anybody in the college sports space now who can't say we didn't go all out. But I just don't hear from people like you and others who have talked to lawmakers, coaches, athletic directors in relation to what type of traction seems to be gained. Can you detect any of that, or are we still back to where we were a year or two ago when you had the open brawl between Saban and Jimbo Fisher, and we're still trying to figure it all out?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of one of those situations where people can't even agree on what the issues are at times, even what they need to solve. I mean, you go to these meetings. I met in Destin a week or two ago talking to coaches, and they're sort of, we don't even know what the issues are at times. It's so complicated, even lawyers who've been doing this their whole lives can't figure things out. So it's one of those things that it's like, it's been broken from the beginning. It's been broken because they never had a system in place until 2 years ago, and they're trying to do it all on the fly. So it's complicated. It's a mess, and I'm not really sure if they even know how to fix it.
Michael, silly question I'm asking you because I hear all the complaints every day, but is it really as bad as they're making it out to be on the front line? I mean, you cover the game. You talk to people on every imaginable side. What do you see?
Yeah, I mean, there are bigger issues, smaller issues. I mean, there are boosters who are promising the world to recruits who sometimes coaches don't even want. So there's a lack of communication. It's sort of, you've legalized things that have been illegal for so long, and no one really knows where the line is, and they're pushing it, some pushing it more than others. The question is whether the NCAA even has any teeth to come after you anymore. There's antitrust situations where how far can they push? What legally can they do without the threat of a lawsuit that could topple the whole thing? So there's a lot of you know, playing chicken in a sense with what the rules are. But yeah, I mean, there are issues where people are getting promised things that they don't get. And when you introduce it into the recruiting space where it just becomes a true pay for play, how much can boosters raise to entice a recruit to come to a school? It's not necessarily using, they're not, it's more of a no show job than doing something, using your name, image, and likeness for the intended purpose.
How has it changed the game, so to speak, other than players are making money and coaches are complaining? Have you been, I realize that's a mouthful, but still, it still seems to be a really good game. It just a little bit sleazier than it was.
Yeah, I mean, if you were to, if this was never discussed, if no one ever knew this was happening below the surface, which it, of course, was happening below the surface for as long as they've been playing college sports, would anyone know the difference? It's an interesting question and one maybe worth it looking into. But, you know, there's always been a market for this kind of thing that no one wanted to talk about, but it was always out there. As if this is the first time boosters have played for big-time recruits, just kind of more in the open. But, yeah, I mean, it can be influencing with the transfer portal when that's all, the relaxing of transfer rules have influenced players to leave schools earlier, the tampering issue. They kind of all play in together. But if you were to not tell, if no one ever said anything outside of, it was just a secret of athletes and boosters that NIL was legal 2 years ago, would the average fan find out about it or realize it? It's probably an interesting question.
And Michael, I know you referenced Charlie Baker in your piece, and I happened to be in that group the other day when he was complaining and talking about how urgent it was that Congress takes it over. And one of the people that he was on the stage with, a president from the Pac-12, said that college athletics was in the ICU. And I mean, I heard all that and had to try not to laugh because I was sitting in the first row. But I didn't really hear anything from anyone that made me think that if this isn't fixed in the next year, that we're going to be in a different spot a year from now. I mean, I think that's really the problem, as you've alluded to. Don't you think these people need to come up with a better message?
Right, yeah, and part of it I thought was interesting when we were talking to Greg Sankey at the spring meetings. One of the talking points was needing consumer protection for the athletes who are involved in these deals who might be getting screwed. So I think that's at least one of their selling points for how they want to make it more enticing for a lawmaker to spend the time, clearly in a very politically charged environment, to take the time to address college sports where it might not to the majority of the country seem like the most pressing issue when there are clearly bigger things going on. So, yeah, I mean, is the sky truly falling? I don't know. I mean, not for everybody, maybe for the smaller schools who can't compete, but the bigger schools who have the money, the collectives, it'll just make the haves and the have-nots, the gap between those two larger, but will it cause the whole thing to collapse on itself? I don't know about that either.
Michael, finally, and it's not my intent to draw you into a political, the political arena. There's too many people already in that. But I bring this up because one of the leading spokespersons for the NIL is Tommy Tuberville, well-known former Auburn football coach. He seems to be in constant communication with SEC coaches. I realize Joe Manchin's also involved because of his relationship with Nick Saban, but you know, you're in Alabama. Tommy Tuberville is not really viewed by a lot of people around the country as just a former football coach trying to help out. He has become very polarizing to many people. He is heavily aligned with one end of the political spectrum, which is his prerogative and good for him. But how does that play, though, when you have somebody like Tommy Tuberville in a position of leadership on NIL, and then you have a lot of young athletes who probably don't align with him or his beliefs very well?
That's a very good point. Very interesting question. This is probably his best. This is a topic that's probably best fit for his skill set within Congress. He's dealing with people he normally deals with, but it's the administrators, and that's kind of the situation that I've heard. The criticism is that we haven't heard much from the athletes themselves, the people who are the ones dealing with the different pressures. What do they think? What's important to them? Or is this what is most important to the administrators to preserve whatever side of the situation they're trying to preserve? So, yeah, no, I haven't seen many photo ops with senators, congressmen, with the athletes as much as I've seen them with coaches and athletic directors and the people who have always been in power.
It does seem like the same old. Michael Casagrande from AL.com. Appreciate you helping us get the show started. Always great to connect with Michael. We are off and running today, as we mentioned. Chris Lowe will join us in a few minutes. He spent some time with Nick Saban recently at a football camp. We'll also talk about what the defenses look like. Dan Wetzel on, did the Big Ten blow it last week with its schedule reveal? Takeo and Doering will drop by later to help us get ready for a huge night of college football, a month before media days and a couple of months before the season, but we'll start getting ready for the following season. That's right, there are 16 helmets you're looking at right there. The SEC is about to expand.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
It is that time of the year when we send our kids off to camp. But what happens when your kid gets to camp and he finds out his counselor is Nick Saban? That is not a teenager out there. Look at Saban. Don't call him old. Don't say his program is decaying, as we heard from a guest the other day. That guy can outwork anyone. Chris Lowe, just back from. By the way, Chris, thank you for the time. What did you? Were you able to get a gold star, or did you get a note back to your family to tell them how well you performed at camp? Good afternoon.
Paul, good afternoon, man. No, I just sat there and watched him at nearly 72 years old run circles around kids that were 9, 10, and people such as myself are 58. The guy's energy is, I've never ceased to be amazed at how boundless his energy is.
Let's talk about that, because he is certainly still at the epicenter of college football. He goes to Italy. That becomes a cause celeb. Your story He goes to Washington. Take us through what you learned. And by the way, I doubt you learned very much considering you've been around this man for a long time. But take us behind the scenes at this camp recently.
Paul, I'll be honest, man. He still is in love with the game. I mean, in all aspects, you know, teaching and coaching on the field, whether you agree with him or don't agree with him, how the game is going to be shaped going forward in this new era. When you talk to him about football, he talks about growing the game, promoting the game. Oftentimes he goes back to his youth with his dad, his late father, who was really heavily involved in Pop Warner football there in the West Virginia community. But Nick is, he just doesn't ever seem to tire of the grind of all the things that go around college football, all the things that, you know, maybe what some of us would consider minutia. I don't know that he is in love with this version of college football, but in his mind, he's not a bit opposed to getting involved and doing what he feels like is right for the game.
And what I found interesting about that camp, Chris, is, you know, it's a great tool, and he has profited from the camp. But you start thinking, if you're a younger person, these 9 or 10 year olds could be on your team in 10 years. But you know, you start looking at his age, going, you know, who out there is going to be a factor? But it doesn't seem to matter, does it?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the Landon Collins story, I think, is well chronicled. Landon was a 9-year-old who went to his camp when Nick was doing it at LSU, and Alabama was able to get him. He was All-American safety and had a great pro career. But that's the exception, Paul. Very few of those kids that come through those camps are going to be Division I college players, certainly not professional players. But I don't think Nick looks at it that way. In fact, I know he doesn't. Having talked with him while I was there that day and been in the staff meeting that morning, he looks at it this way. It's his way to give back. Here's a guy that's won 7 national titles. He's produced 50 or whatever first-round draft choices. But he wants to see the game, as I said earlier, continue to grow. He said, hey, listen, in a lot of places, the game of football is under attack. So people that have had success, people who are doing it at a high level, need to go out of their way to try to promote and grow the game and teach it and do it the right way. Something stuck with me, he said that morning, to all of his coaches. And keep in mind, they're all were involved. Some of the guys making $2 million a year, Kevin Steele and Tommy Reese, they're all there, out there in the heat all day long. But he told those guys, he said, listen, kids don't play football anymore because they somewhere along the way, as a kid, have a bad experience with a coach who doesn't know how to do it, who doesn't treat them the right way, who doesn't challenge them. We want to make sure above everything else that these kids leaving camp today like football.
Talking to Chris Lowe about his recent visit. Chris, and again, I realize when you're behind the scenes, when you're around Nick Saban, a lot of things are said, and I'm not asking you to betray anything you're not comfortable with, but give us away from the camp, just Nick Saban, his mindset as he approaches a big season that many are wondering if the mantle hasn't already been passed to Kirby Smart.
Yeah, have we heard that before somewhere along the way? I certainly don't think in his mind it has. He, talking to him about his staff, he's had a lot of turnover, Paul, the last few years on his staff. Now, this is the first turnover he's had on defense in a while. Pete Golding was there for several years. Kevin Steele's back in. It's Kevin's third different stint working for Nick. I know part of what they want to do on defense this year, and certainly a priority to Kevin Steele and Nick Saban, is to be more aggressive and to create more turnovers and to create more negative plays. You go back and look last year, they were toward the bottom of the league in creating turnovers. So I think you're going to see a different approach on defense. I think offense, bringing in a young guy like Tommy Reese, has in a lot of ways for Nick. Now, I don't want to say rejuvenated him, but I think it's added motivation. Here's a guy he's come in, he had some success in Notre Dame, he's still young, he brings a different approach. You're going to see them really go back to trying to run the football, consistently committing to running the football, throwing the ball downfield over people's heads, with a quarterback situation that's still very muddy. We don't know who it's going to be, and I talked to Nick about that. He's got 3 guys, 4 if you count the younger guy. I don't know if he can get all those guys ready, But I think he's challenged by the fact that, you know what, for the first time in 5 years, he doesn't have a first-round pick at quarterback. You go back and look at their last four, those guys are all playing the pros now. Saban looks at things differently sometimes. I think the fact that they don't have that guy that everybody's pointing to and said, this guy's the next NFL first-round quarterback, I think he's as challenged and motivated by that as anything.
Chris, you mentioned the defense. You did a deep dive into the nation's best defenses recently. Tell us what you learned.
Well, it's, you know, status quo. I mean, nobody, in all deference to Nick Saban in Alabama, nobody has recruited and developed football players, certainly on the defensive side of the ball, better than Kirby Smart. And the way I know that, the main way you know it is you see the results in NFL draft. Although you go watch them practice and you see them break off into groups, defensive linemen, linebackers, safeties, you don't know who the ones are versus the twos and threes. And it's one thing to recruit at a high level, but how many times has Kirby in the last few years brought in a guy that was a star, All-American type of player, certainly on defense, and that guy has not produced like that on the field? So even losing to Jalen Carter, losing some of the guys they did last year, and they've been lights out on defense the last 2 years, I think they're not going to miss a step this year. I think they'll be maybe not quite as talented because you've lost so many draft picks the last 2 years, but I bet you they're just as effective.
Chris Lowe from ESPN, always great to have him on. As we head to the break, your phone calls around the corner at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We've been talking about this for a couple of weeks now. We're 3.5 hours away from the reveal. You will find out what the schedule looks like. I don't believe we will see the dates, but we will see the team. So every team, every school every SEC school will have its schedule laid out. So you'll find out whether the so-called permanent rivals stick around in this, what many believe is an interim setup, or what it's going to look like. We haven't started the 23 season, but something tells me the 24 season will be one that we'll be talking about for a long time. Andre is up next in the ATL. Good afternoon.
The one and only Coach Paul Feinbaum. Coach, thanks for taking my call. Listen. This NIL deal is like trying to get your hands around smoke. The genie's out of the bag. It ain't going back. The country's divided. Congress divided. The United States Senate is divided. They're not going to come up with a consensus bill, no matter who goes up there. If my mama can go up there, it ain't going to change it, Coach. Now, if your mama working at Popeye's making $13 an hour, and somebody come to her and tell her, if your son signs at LSU, we're going to buy you a $300,000 house and give you the deed. What are you going to do, Coach?
Take it.
There it is. They said in NASCAR, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. It ain't going back. What do you think is the solution to all this, Coach Feinbaum? I heard a lot of people offer their different opinions I want to hear the coach's opinion.
I'm a big believer, in, McCann said it a minute ago in that break from the interview from yesterday, in letting things play out. I'm not trying to go with a survival of the fittest take here, but I am. It will work out. Congress is not going to solve the problem. And the thing I don't like about Congress, what I've seen, especially Tuberville's bill, is where he's going to start restricting and stipulating, and you cannot do that.
You can't do that. But listen, Coach, this thing here, the SEC, it doesn't matter how much they come up with. The SEC will not take a back seat to any conference. You know the players down here. You know the people. You know the alumni and the boosters. They're going to put up whatever it takes to keep the SEC on top.
Exactly.
That's just how it is. Hey, thanks for taking my call, Coach Firebomb. I always enjoy your show.
Thank you very much, Andre. Ross is up next in Chicago. Hey, Ross.
Hi, Paul. You know, this question may have already been answered that I have, because I was going to ask what kind of efforts did Alabama make to keep Kirby Smart? But from your person that you interviewed, you said something about how Kirby will take over after Nick Saban leaves. Did I hear that correctly?
No, I asked him, I said there are people who are suggesting that the mantle has already been passed. And Chris answered that saying we've heard that before.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, let me give you a little background here on something that might be a little similar. I don't know if you're familiar with professional football, but the Bears had a coach named George Halas.
Sure.
Now, I don't know if you're familiar with him.
Yeah, I'm well familiar with George Halas, Papa Bear.
Okay. His defensive coordinator in 1963 was George Allen. Now, George Allen would have stayed with the Bears if George Halas would have guaranteed that he would be the coach after Halas retired, but Halas wouldn't do that, so George Allen left. So that's where my call was coming from.
I know what you're talking about, but here's the situation. When Kirby Smart, we're going back to, I think, 2015, Kirby Smart was a hot young coach. He was being wooed by a number of schools. In fact, he was offered the head coaching position at South Carolina to replace essentially Steve Spurrier, who quit after a couple of games. And he was very likely going to go to South Carolina, and then Georgia caught wind and fired Mark Richt and then hired him. So your question, could Alabama have done anything? No. What could Alabama have done? Say, stick around here for 10 more years and replace Nick Saban? What good would that have done? Kirby Smart has already played for 3 national championships since that moment.
No, I understand.
And don't forget, he was going back to his alma mater.
Yeah, right. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Alabama could not have. There's no amount of money that Alabama could have offered him that would have kept him in Tuscaloosa as Nick Saban's understudy while his alma mater. Now, you know, would South Carolina have been a good decision for him? Not as good as Georgia, but he would have done pretty well there, though.
Okay. Well, thanks for taking my call, and you have a good day, huh?
Well, you too. Have a great day. Yeah. Will is up. Hey, Will.
Over under 2 sit-ups for you. I mean, I really enjoyed that.
I don't really want to compare myself to Nick Saban in anything, but
are y'all the same age?
No, he is 4.5. Almost 5 years older than me.
I really enjoyed the break.
I think I can do sit-ups better than him. I know that sounds like I was not that impressed with the sit-ups. Were you, Randy?
Come on, he could take you and Randy both. I know.
He may be able to handle me, but he couldn't handle Randy. Randy would smoke him.
What you said to Chris Lowe was correct. I mean, Alabama's coming off a terrible year in general in athletics. I mean, basketball issues, baseball issues, football issues. I mean, I enjoy the little Twitter branding clip right there. I mean, Nick Saban's old. That's what it felt like this winter. But I mean, what great okay, to well, pump
while
out.
We're talking, we're going to show this video. Okay, now that I look at it, it's not that bad. It's a reasonably decent sit-up, don't you think?
I mean, he got in it.
But here's the. I mean, this is a different take. I mean, this is not what I would call a pure sit-up. This is a kind of a moving sit-up.
Yeah, kind of.
I will say this: there are not many 72-year-olds who could do that.
Right. Okay. I have a serious question for you.
Might be a few 67-year-olds who can though.
Do you think? Yeah, I'm seeing the clip now again. Yeah, I mean, he got in three or four quality ones at least.
But the key to a sit-up is one motion where you're tight as you're coming up.
The head clearly has to.
Yeah,
hit
I mean, you
the
want
ground,
your you want your glutes to be tight. You want your core to be singular. You don't want to be rocking all over there like you're at a 4th of July picnic.
Yep. That was a retirement rocking chair.
Yeah, I mean that sit up there would win you first prize at an assisted living center, but I don't know if it would.
Paul, I got a serious question. With an election coming up
with,
in the next
with
two
the
or
election,
three years,
or just, is that what you said?
Yeah, with an election, not my gosh, an election. Come on, man. Do you think that politicians will start like including like the NIL, like do you think that would be able to like gain like anybody any votes or anything like in the next few years?
No,
like the politicians
well, I don't think
come
he'll
out?
Hear now that everybody has left Washington. I don't think other than Tuberville. I don't think you'll hear another politician talk about this.
So you don't think it would give anybody any traction to run on or even mention?
Well, because in a red state, saying you're going to restrict something, but it's counterintuitive in the sense that I don't know a single player that would. That's why you didn't see too many players last week in Washington. I don't know. Uh-huh. I don't know any players that would go along with putting restrictions on NIL. That's not the way the system works. Anyway, thanks for the call. Eli Drinkwitz has put out a tweet. Mizzou to play the XFL Battlehawks and the Chiefs. Trust me. So I guess Eli trying to be funny. What do you think, Randy? Was that funny?
No.
Randy gives it a thumbs down. I'm not going to give it anything because I don't want to hear from Eli. I don't know. That was not that funny, was it?
He's just poking fun.
He's just having fun. At least he's engaging with the masses. We'll take a short break. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Dan Wetzel joining us in just a few minutes. Let's check in with Doug in Tulsa. Hello, Doug. Hello, Doug. Good afternoon.
Oh, hey. Sorry, didn't hear you. Hey, Paul, I got a couple of questions for you. But first of all, I got to give a shout out to the Oral Roberts University baseball team who's in the College World Series. Paul, I just got to say about that, expect a miracle or a 700-foot Jesus. But that's another story.
Okay.
Now, Paul, my first question is, have you had OU Athletic Director Joe Castiglione on your show? Because as an OU fan, I've heard Chris Del Conte on there twice, and that's two times too many for an OU fan, if you know what I'm saying. So has the great Joe C been on your show?
The answer is I don't think so, and I'm pretty sure we invited him. So what happened after that, I don't know.
Oh, no. Well, I'm gonna have to work on that then, because he needs to be on your show.
Yeah, I'm checking with the – yeah, we invited him to be on in Destin. We were told by his people that his schedule did not comport with ours.
Oh. Well, that's no good. That's insane. All right. Well,
I have great respect for Joe, and he's welcome here anytime he can find it.
Well, he's been at OU for 25 years, so he's just been a great AD for us.
Well, if you know him, tell him that he should be on the show.
Yeah, I definitely will try to do that. Now, my second question is, next year OU is going to be the new neighbor in the SEC neighborhood, right? So we're the new neighbor. So when we have home games with SEC schools, when the fans come to Norman, should we expect them to bring, like, a nice cake or a pie or some warm cookies to welcome us to the neighborhood? Or should we be worried about our treats?
No, you should be worried. You should. I remember when A&M played Alabama right before the first game, everybody loved everyone. It was like because there was so much of a connective tissue between the two schools, Paul Bryan, Gene Stallings, Jackie Sherrill.
Right.
And then A&M did something that they didn't understand would get them in a lot of trouble. They beat Alabama the first time out. And my friends from Aggieland, I warned them. I said, you will not get that treatment the next time around. So you will love SEC fans until something goes haywire.
All right. Well, I was at the national championship game the semifinal game when OU played LSU a couple years ago.
Right.
And that was not very heartwarming at all.
I'll offer this. I went out there. I've been to Norman. I've been to games in both Norman and Stillwater. And I went to an Alabama game in Oklahoma. I think it was 2002, and it was amazing. I've been to Lincoln for games. I've been to most places, and it was other than the heat, and it was about 130 degrees on the field. It was one of the great atmospheres I've ever been to.
Well, awesome. We're excited about it. We're looking forward to it. I can't wait for tonight to see the schedule.
Yeah, I think. I mean, there's a million things to look for tonight, but the OU Texas part of it is really what I think we're all most interested in is how they break it down. There's already a little speculation, but the guess is that both schools are going between the two of them. They'll see everybody. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Randy is in Georgia. Hey, Randy.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
We're doing great, Randy. Thank you.
I just wanted to give a little bit of input on the 2024 schedule for Georgia. I really don't understand why it always seems like we get Alabama and Alabama every year. I mean, I would love to have that game at home.
Well, Randy, remember something about the 24 schedule. It is a one-off. And I am told that there was human element, but a great deal of the schedule was done using analytics and computers to try to make it as equal as possible. And when you're balancing right now, Georgia is number one in the SEC in terms of the most difficult game. So I think that's how you probably had to balance everything out. Dave is up next. Hello, Dave.
Hey, what's going on, Paul? How you doing?
Hey there.
Hey, I was just going to say, look, I took my son to both the Alabama camp and then the next week, which was this past Monday, to the Auburn camp. And I'm a lifelong Auburn fan, but it's night and day the difference. I can see why they're stringing off national championship after national championship, and Auburn's over here playing games with new coaches. I mean, Nick Saban was working them so hard, they had 100 kids quit the camp an hour into it. Meanwhile, at Auburn camp, they were teaching them how to do three-point stance the whole time and playing goofy little games, you know. It's just the difference in the setup and the system. And, you know, it's a kid's camp, so I guess you can't tell a whole lot, but it just struck me on how much more professional and how serious Nick Saban took it, and Auburn didn't take it as seriously. Hugh Freeze did his 400 pictures with the kids, said a couple words, made a joke about the mamas, and left. Never saw him again.
Yeah, but Dave, Saban has done this now for 20-some-odd years, both at LSU and in Alabama. I'm not defending Hugh Freeze. I've never been to his camp. I have been to Saban's camp. I spent a day there once a number of years ago, and what Chris said is fairly descriptive of what you get there.
Yep. And then half the price, too. Look, it was 125 to take them to Auburn. It was 50 to take them to Alabama. So it was really neat to see how both of them did it different, and how Nick was out there just running around. Kevin Stills walking around talking to all the kids, interacting with all the kids. It was really cool. It was just it was a big difference in the two, and hopefully Hugh gets it a little bit better in the years to come.
I'll pass that along to Coach Freeze when we talk to him next. Straighten out your camp. We will take a break. Dan Wetzel joining us in just a moment about the Big Ten. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.